The Gospel of Health, 1897. June 1, 1897. Medical Missionary Work. Selections from Recent Letters and Publications. Ellen G. White. I am deeply interested in the subject of medical missionary work and the education of men and women for that work. I am more and more impressed with the fact that a more decided testimony must be borne upon this subject, that more direct efforts must be made to interest the proper persons, setting before them the advantages that every missionary will have in understanding how to treat those who are diseased in body, as well as to minister to sin-sick souls. This double ministration will give the laborer, together with God, access to homes, and will enable him to reach all classes of society. An intelligent knowledge of how to treat disease upon hygienic principles will gain the confidence of many who otherwise would not be reached with the truth. In affliction, many are humbled in spirit, and words in favor of the truth spoken to them in tenderness by one who is seeking to alleviate physical suffering may touch the heart. Prayer, short, weighted with tenderest sympathy, presenting the suffering one in faith to the great physician, will inspire in them a confidence, a rest, and a trust that will tend to the health of both soul and body. I have been surprised at being asked by physicians if I did not think it would be more pleasing to God for them to give up the medical profession and enter the ministry. I am prepared to answer such an inquirer. If you are a Christian and a competent physician, you are qualified to do tenfold more good as a missionary for God than if you were to go forth merely as a preacher of the word. I would advise young men and women to give heed to this matter. Perilous times are before us. The whole world will be involved in perplexity and distress. Disease of every kind will be upon the human family, and such ignorance as now prevails concerning the laws of health would result in great suffering and the loss of many lives that might be saved. While Satan is doing his utmost to take advantage of men's ignorance and to lay the foundation of disease by improper treatment of the body, it is best for those who claim to be the sons of God to avail themselves, while they can, of the opportunities now presented to gain a knowledge of the human system and how it may be preserved in health. As religious aggression subverts the liberties of our nation, those who would stand for freedom of conscience will be placed in unfavorable positions. For their own sake, they should, while they have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, prevention, and cure. And those who do this will find a field of labor anywhere. There will be suffering ones, plenty of them, who will need help, not only among those of our own faith, but largely among those who know not the truth. In almost every church there are young men and women who might receive education either as nurses or physicians. They will never have a more favorable opportunity than now. I would urge that this subject be considered prayerfully, that special effort be made to select those youths who give promise of usefulness and moral strength. Let these receive an education at our sanitarium at Battle Creek, to go out as missionaries wherever the Lord may call them to labor. It should ever be kept before them that their work is not only to relieve physical suffering, but to minister to souls that are ready to perish. It is important that everyone who is to act as a medical missionary be skilled in ministering to the soul as well as to the body. Holy and devout persons, both men and women, are wanted now to go forth as medical missionaries. Let them cultivate their physical and mental powers and their piety to the uttermost. Every effort should be made to send forth intelligent workers. The same grace that came from Jesus Christ to Paul and Apollos, which caused them to be distinguished for their spiritual excellencies, can be received now, and will bring into working order many devoted missionaries.
I am intensely interested in the education of medical students as missionaries. This is the very means of introducing the truth where otherwise it would not find an entrance. I can see in the Lord's providence that the medical missionary work is to be a great entering wedge whereby the diseased soul may be reached. Oh, what a field of usefulness is opened before the medical missionary! Jesus Christ was in every sense of the word a missionary of the highest type, and combined with his missionary work, that of the great physician, healing all manner of diseases. How essential that the living missionary should understand the diseases which afflict the human body, to combine the physician, educated to care for diseased bodies, with the faithful, conscientious shepherd of the flock, to give sacredness and double efficiency to the service. The Lord, in His great goodness and matchless love, has been urging upon His human instrumentalities that missionaries are not really complete in their education unless they have a knowledge of how to treat the sick and suffering. If this had been felt as an important branch of education in the missionary line of labor, many who have lost their lives might have lived. Had they understood how to treat the ailments of the body and how to study from cause to effect, they could, through their intelligent knowledge of the human body and how to treat its maladies, have reached many hardened minds that otherwise they could not approach. The truth expressed in living, unselfish deeds is the strongest argument for Christianity. The relieving of the sick, the helping of the distressed, is working in Christ's lines and demonstrates most powerful gospel truths representing Christ's mission and work upon earth. The knowledge of the art of relieving suffering humanity is the opening of doors without number, where the truth can find a lodgment in the heart and souls be saved unto life, eternal life. October 1, 1897. From a recent testimony. Ellen G. White. Culture on all points of life will make the youth useful after they shall leave the school to go to foreign countries. They will not then have to depend upon the people to whom they go, to cook and sew for them, or to build their habitations, and they will be much more influential if they show that they can labor by the best methods and produce the best results. This will be appreciated where means is difficult to obtain. The laborers will reveal that missionaries can become educators in teaching how to labor. A much smaller fund will be required to sustain such missionaries, because they have put to the very best use their physical powers in useful, practical labor combined with their studies. And wherever they go, all that they have gained in this line will give them standing room. It is also essential to understand the philosophy of medical missionary work. Wherever the student may go, he will need education in the science of how to treat the sick, for this will give him a welcome in any place, because there is suffering of every kind in every part of the world. November 1, 1897. Bible Temperance. Ellen G. White. It is necessary for every believer to be strictly temperate. The people in our world indulge pernicious habits, thus destroying their God-given susceptibility and the power of discerning sacred things. The moral sense of many of those living at the present day is clouded by wrong habits. With many, appetite is the law that governs. There is need of a better understanding of the principles of health reform. Temperance in eating, drinking, and dressing is essential. The advocates of temperance should place their standard on a broader platform. They would then be laborers together with God. With every iota of their influence, they should encourage the spread of reform principles. Let appetite rule instead of principle, and the whole human machinery will be implicated. The violation of physical law is a violation of the law of God. Those who eat too much and whose food is of an objectionable quality are easily led into dissipation. In proportion to the darkness of their minds will they give license to their appetites and passions. Tea and coffee are neither wholesome nor necessary. They are of no use so far as the health of the body is concerned. But practice in the use of these things becomes habit. When men and women are truly converted, they will conscientiously regard their habits of eating, drinking, and dressing. They will seek to avoid physical, mental, and moral feebleness. Tobacco produces an effect on the system fully as harmful as liquor. It stimulates for the time being, but when its immediate influence is gone, those who have used it sink as far below par as they have been elevated above it. All those who cling to this habit, who refuse to practice health reform by placing themselves on the platform of temperance in all things, must bear the consequences of their course of action. No man can be truly a minister of righteousness and yet be under the inspiration of sensual appetites. He cannot indulge the habit of using tobacco and yet win souls to the platform of true temperance. The cloud of smoke coming from his lips has no salutary effect upon a liquor drinker. The gospel sermon must come from lips undefiled by tobacco smoke. With pure, clean lips, God's servants must tell the triumphs of the cross. The practice of using liquor, tobacco, tea, and coffee must be overcome by the converting power of God. There shall nothing enter into the kingdom of God that defiles. The life that many live is not half what it ought to be. Light is shining upon the subject of temperance, and much labor has been put forth to instruct people upon this point. But the dietetic habits of those who live for selfish gratification, who do not wish to be corrected, and refuse to practice health reform, leave them diseased and enfeebled. They may ask the Lord to heal them, but will He who caused the light to shine out of darkness heal them of that which is the result of not heeding this light, but continuing to eat, drink, and dress unhealthfully? Shall we not seek to do all that it is possible for us to do by placing ourselves in the right relation to health reform? Then we can say, Father in heaven, I have done all that I can to place myself in a correct position by denying appetite and following the light given in regard to health. Heal me of disease, that I may glorify Thee. It is labor lost to teach people to go to God as the healer of their infirmities, unless they are educated also to lay aside every wrong practice and cease to indulge perverted appetite. They must be taught to use the provisions God has given. To refuse the remedies which they may have as well as not, without paying a doctor's fee, and to neglect to let into every room in the house God's pure air and sunshine, show a lack of faith in Him. Faith in God's power to heal infirmities is dead unless the one diseased improves the light God has given him by bringing his habits into harmony with right principles. The grace of God is always reformatory. Every human being is in a school where he is to learn to give up hurtful practices and obtain a knowledge of what he can do for himself. Those who ignore these things, who take no precautions in regard to getting pure air to breathe and pure water to drink, cannot be free from disease. Their systems are defiled and the human structure injured. Such people are careless, reckless, presumptuous, and self-destroying. Knowledge is strewn along their pathway, but they refuse to gather up the rays of light, saying that they depend on God. But will God do those things that He has left for them to do? Will He supply their neglect to cooperate with Him? Will He wink at their willing ignorance and do great things for them by restoring soul, body, and spirit, while they ignore the most simple agencies, the use of which would bring them their health? While day by day they indulge their appetites by eating that which brings disease, can they expect the Lord to work a miracle to restore them? This is not the Lord's way of working. By doing this, they make the Lord altogether such an one as themselves. Faith and works go together. I beseech my brethren and sisters to lay aside their darling luxury of tea and coffee, the use of which creates an unnatural state of mind and body. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. How are their garments defiled? By eating of that which brings disease and infirmity. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. All may become intelligent if they will. Those who worship God in the beauty of holiness will work in harmony with God by striving to supply the best conditions for worship. Says Christ, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Those who follow God's directions will be prepared to receive the heavenly guest, for they have listened to the voice of God, speaking through His word and His messengers. But those who do not hear and obey the warnings and instructions of God cannot understand what sanctification of soul and body means. What word has God for those who ignore the light that is flashing around and then ask to be prayed for, that they may be sanctified and healed? The same word that He had for Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Let all examine their own hearts to see if they are not cherishing that which is a positive injury to them, and instead of opening the door of the heart to let Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, in, are complaining of the dearth of the Spirit of God. Let these search for the idols and cast them out. Let them cut away every unhealthful indulgence in eating and drinking. Let them bring their daily practice into harmony with nature's laws. By doing, as well as believing, an atmosphere will be created about the soul that will be a savor of life unto life. August 25th, 1897.